Megan Fun of Sports is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older. Hello, everybody, and welcome on into this week's edition of Megan Fun of Sports. Oh, boy, we have the conference finals set for the NBA, and we got a little bit of NFL news along with Major League Baseball as well. But with that, we will get started. Please welcome on my co-host, the beautiful and talented Megan Gailey. Megan, what's going on?
We're still on strike.
Yes, the strike is going on. I saw that you went out and picketed.
Yeah, I saw Kevin Hench out. He lives really, really close to one of the strike locations. So he's actually doing like real work. He said that they're calling him like early in the morning if they need them. I'm like showing up, you know, and eating an apple and hanging out for an hour.
Well, I'm glad that you got to see Kevin Hench. I wish the circumstances were better, but, you know, life is good in both of our households because both of our husbands are happy.
Wow.
You know what they say, happy husband, happy life. My husband, Celtics, won a game 7 in dominant fashion behind Jason Tatum. We're going to get to all of that. And then you obviously are celebrating the Lakers.
Oh, yeah. And I tweeted this. I was like, between the Lakers and the new Filipino Sesame Street character, whose name is TJ and looks significantly like my husband, life is good over here. And we had a beautiful Mother's Day. You sent me such a lovely text. So I hope all the moms out there listening had a great chill day and they were able to sleep in.
Yes. Happy Mother's Day, belated Mother's Day to all of the fantastic mothers out there. Let's kick things off with our morons and our mensches of the week. We actually have a collective show moron of the week, and this pains my heart to talk about this, but we have to. Ja Morant once again went on Instagram Live and was shown flashing a gun. Now, this is after he's already done this on Instagram Live. He went to a Florida rehab institution where he allegedly got help. He did a sit-down interview with Jalen Rose. We on this podcast, Megan Fun of Sports, were behind Ja Morant.
Yes.
And unfortunately, he let us down once again.
Yes, we think he is a star, and we think that star power is great for the NBA as a whole. And so, you know, I think Ja is really smart and really cool. I think his endorsements are good. Like at this point, he's hurting himself more than anyone else. I would also like to add, the irony is not lost on me that within this same exact state, we are now holding athletes across all sports to a much higher standard than American politicians. Because you think about what you see in this, there's a Tennessee politician, you can look it up, and he had a Christmas card where his entire family is holding guns. And I see people pointing to that and going, well, but Ja didn't do that. And it's like, in some upside down world, NBA players are now more valuable to society than politicians. And we need Ja better than we need this dumb idiot man.
Well, the problem with a lot of it, too, is, listen, he literally just did this, right? He just did this.
And
he just
said he learned.
Exactly. And so now it's really tough to believe much that comes out of Ja's mouth. And it is sad to watch what's happening to the Memphis Grizzlies. We talked about Dylan Brooks on this show. And now Ja Morant. It's just they have such a talented group. And all of this off-court stuff and things that do not relate to basketball whatsoever are getting in the way of this team's success.
Just don't go on Instagram Live. I never go on Instagram Live. Like you think about all the things that the athletes and public figures get in trouble, you know, quote unquote, trouble for these days. And it's so much of it. 90% of it surrounds social media. And it really is. Oh, my gosh. Think if he just handed his password over to someone else. And I know it's like freedom and he should get to do this, but it's like he's shown that he's not making smart choices. So, like, let's just take a time out and hand it to his sweet, lovely daughter and have her upload Miss Rachel clips.
I love that. We need more Miss Rachel on Ja Morant's social media platforms. I hope this is not the end for Ja Morant,
no.
But three strikes and you're out, and he's got two. So that's not great. In more positive news, should we head it over, send it over to Eddie for a better moron?
He's got a moron animate for us.
I could do that. I could do my moron. It's just people that are hating on the final four matchup of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I don't want to call anyone by names, but I'm getting a lot of angry texts by
Call him by names.
Kevin Hench, Dave Damashek.
Cousin Sal,
Kevin Hench, and Dave Damashek.
And is it because there's not a Canadian team in it?
Well, their thought process is that they're not known hockey markets, but I say poo-poo to that. Dallas Stars are in it. They've won a cup before. Carolina Hurricanes, they've won a cup before. Obviously, we're close to having a Seattle Kraken and a new thing, but that was like my point was how like when the NHL creates these expansion teams like the Vegas Golden Knights are in it, who reached the cup first season, exactly. And they lost, but like you want those teams to succeed. What is the point of creating an expansion team to have them suffer and then you lose that fan base? And guess what happens? They become the Atlanta Thrashers and the team goes away. Now you have an established fan base in Seattle. Now you have an established fan base.
Yeah, it's great for expansion. So
I totally agree. And all, like again, these teams have history, and I think the playing styles of these teams will be great. There's a lot of storylines involved in each team. Obviously, the Knights, getting Jack Eichel, they saved him from Buffalo. Great story there. A lot of good veterans there. Dallas Stars, I mean, one of the deepest teams in the league. A lot of bigger name players: Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, Joe Pavelski. Want to see? He's like 38 years old. Want to get him a cup? One of the greatest American players. And then you have the Florida Panthers, who are great last year. This year, not as good. Made a huge trade in the offseason, bringing in Matthew Tkachuk. And then what do? They go on a run. They beat the Bruins with an all-time season. That's a great story. And the Hurricanes missing their top two guys, and they find a way just to play tough, beat the Devils. They advance. I mean, it's a great Final Four, and people hating on it is I don't get why. I think it's great for the sport to have some new blood into the mix there. And then just to give my mention of the week quickly, I'm sure you guys have seen this already, but the Tennessee Titans schedule release video
that they did. Fantastic.
I normally am not, I don't love the quirky, funny videos online, but Jay had showed me and I was like laughing out loud. I mean, getting people in Nashville on the street who are probably under the influence and just saying stuff like the Falcons, the Red Stallions, calling Megan's Colts the Cowboys.
The Cowboys twice.
Multiple times. someone said Lightning McQueen, insane answers. One of my best friends.
Yeah, it was great.
His girlfriend was in the video too, and it's just like so funny to see. And he was like, if he's a Steelers fan, he goes, if they had a Steelers, and she said it wrong, he's like, it would have been the end of the relationship. But great job by them.
Now, did she know she was going to be in the video?
I guess she said that from what she said that like they didn't know we're gonna make the final cut, but they said like we're the Titans.
We're filming this yeah. This video. And then they all knew the Tennessee Titans, which I was like, maybe they showed them or they just see that logo everywhere.
Right.
And good for them too, because that's like a very well-known TikTok trend of just like showing people that don't know sports logos and having them guess. But it did feel like fun and fresh because they were on whatever that street is. I think it's on 6
Broadway.
Turned into absolutely
what I loved about this. And I worked for a team before, and so I know all the meetings that go into schedule release videos, and it was a lot of time, and it almost seemed like it was turning into a competition between the teams. A lot of teams would hire outside production companies, spend a ton of money on these schedule release videos, and it was always our thought internally, like, how can we make a funny video that doesn't cost, hundreds of thousands of dollars to do? Because some teams really do go all out and they bring in celebs to voice it over or to actually do the release. And I think the Titans hit the nail on the head here. They didn't spend a lot of money on it. They just sent their social media person out there. They got raw, authentic, real reactions, and it was great.
That was the last thing I wanted to say, was that they not only did they have to really think of a concept, they let the people themselves create the humor, which is awesome. And I have to say, there's some other teams like the Chargers do a really good job on social media.
Yeah, the Bears did the bear. It was cool.
So there is some really good schedule release videos. There are some not so good videos at all. And for them to rise above the rest of them when every team is now, all 32 teams are doing some sort of funny video and they destroyed all of them. Like, again, tip my cap to you, Tennessee Titans. Awesome job there. So easy mention of the week there.
All that said, I hope they have a terrible season. Okay.
I do love the Bachelorette theme. Like a couple of years ago when the draft was in Nashville, it was like those girls who had no idea that the draft was going on. It ruined their Bachelorette party. So Nashville has a lot.
It makes me so happy I haven't been to Nashville in a few years because I'm like, oh, I don't want to be with those people. Okay, so my mensch this week is Naomi Osaka, who is about to be a mother, is pregnant. Serena is pregnant. A lot of tennis moms pregnant. Now, Naomi Osaka is like has so many haters and she has been on the record multiple times saying she struggles with her mental health and with anxiety and all the things that are amplified when you are in the public spotlight. And so she last week clapped back at people that were being critical about what her career is going to be after she gives birth, which is people that are critical of her now. Like it's never people that are Naomi Osaka fans going, God, I hope she's going to do okay, because that's not the type of thing you would criticize. She tweeted, by the way, to the people that are suddenly concerned about my career, there are plenty of male athletes with kids that are significantly less accomplished. You might want to worry about them instead. Thanks for the concern. Might want to redirect it to someone that needs it, though. And she's right. She's highly accomplished. And we see, I mean, we see pitchers get lit up, have ERAs in the sevens, and they got kids. And no one says, gosh, I wonder if it's because they're dads.
I do remember Rory. I think it was Rory McIlroy when he, after he got engaged or after he had a new girlfriend and he started playing bad, people were like, maybe because he's in love, but that's really the only male athlete I can remember it happened. I would like to direct Naomi Osaka to the women's running community. There's all of these bad women right now in their mid to late 30s, post-childbirth, qualifying for the Olympic trials, really doing amazing things. So it's a positive light upon women being able to do things.
It's happening in soccer. Women are coming back to the national team. It happens in basketball all the time. So I think she's going to be fine. I think she'll be better. I think it centers you and makes you kind of block out the nonsense. She's 25, which, she is young. Tennis is a young person's game, but she's going to win majors after this.
Oh, totally. They also say there's something with the hormones. This is at least for running, something with your hormones at if you're a runner. And then after you have a kid and you run through the pregnancy, you can actually be faster afterwards because you have like more testosterone or something. I'm not a scientist. Don't quote me on it, but I've read articles.
All right. I'll get you my times.
So my mention of the week is Martha Stewart's boobs.
Oh, my God.
She looked great. Incredible. Oh my gosh. For those of you who are living under a rock, Martha Stewart is on the cover of SI swimsuit, I believe, which is a huge honor.
Yeah, they're doing non-models. Everyone's hot. Yes. Padma is in it. They're doing women who have made an impact in the world and also have nice hooters.
So Martha Stewart, who is 81 years old, was selected to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I haven't seen Martha like this, I don't think, ever. And I just wonder why she's been hiding her boobs from us for this long. Wow. I mean, they looked absolutely fantastic. And I think this is Martha for a while. You know, she was sort of like persona non grata when she, you know, she had her jail time.
Not for me. I said, no, that's a bad. I like that.
Oh, you were. Yeah.
Yes, so I rooted for her more.
I'm glad to see Martha really thriving post jail life. And I think she's
always
great.
She's always been in like an Oxford, you know, like a crisp button down. And then during the pandemic, we would see her in her pool. She loves weed. I think Snoop Dogg seen those Hooters and said, Martha, we got to get these out to the people.
They were not saggy. And I know they've come a long way with boob jobs. And they make them look real now, but they look real. I mean, they don't look perky like, oh, she just got them done. I know, I'm sure she's had them enhanced in some way, shape, or form. Maybe she hasn't. Maybe they're natural. And if so, she needs to let the public know which type of bra that they should be buying. That's
and
what like, I want to see.
And tape and how many PAs were in charge of having to hoist them up on set. Now, final note from our little roundup before we get into hard breaking news. you and I are on the record with each other as not being Swifties.
No, I would like to just like clarify this. I was an original Swiftie. So I went to the concert, the Rascal Flatts concert, because Taylor Swift was opening for them. And then when I was in high school, I made my mother and my sister, who hated Taylor Swift at the time, stand outside the Allstate Arena on the day of the concert to buy tickets from scalpers. Turns out about 30 minutes before showtime, they released a bunch of unsold tickets. So we were able to buy tickets at face value, go to the concert. My sister hated Taylor Swift. My mom was like, oh, this is a fun thing to do with my girls. Now, flash forward, I don't know, 10, 15 years. My sister is sitting for hours trying to get Taylor Swift tickets. She went to the concert in Philadelphia. She is a full-blown Swiftie, listens to everything. And I got to be honest, ever since that album Red, I've been out. I can't get into it anymore.
I'm not going to give my reasons because I really don't want the Swifties to come after me, but I could give or take. I'm happy for her, whatever. But she was performing at Lincoln Financial Field where the Eagles play. Now, she is from Philadelphia or like the surrounding area. She's from Pennsylvania. And which, you know, is funny to be a country singer, whatever. And she confirmed at these concerts that she is an Eagles fan. She has a lyric where she says, "My Eagles shirt on the doorknob or something."
That was her surprise song at the Philadelphia concert. I asked my sister what was the surprise song. She told me, I said, never heard it before.
And people were wondering, did she mean the band, the Eagles? And she said, guys, I'm from here. Of course I mean the team. And then I saw her post that to perform at the stadium where she watched her dad, like, watch Eagles games growing up. So she's an Eagles fan.
I will give a tip of the cap to Taylor. I feel like every week I know where she is because somebody on my social media feed happens to be at the concert. And every week she makes that city feel like they are the most important city publicly. Like, she went viral for yelling at a security guard who was yelling at girls for having fun. Like, mid-song, Taylor says, "Leave them alone. They're not doing anything." So she's just become a hero to all of these Swiftie fans out there. I'm glad that they're all enjoying it. I've heard it's a fantastic show to go to.
It seems long.
Three and a half hours.
I got to pee a lot. Okay, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with NBA news.
Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesar's Palace. All of this can be yours when you bet with Caesar's Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using code OMAHAFULL. That's OMAHAFULL. And then place your first bet. Up to $1,250. If you win, great. You keep those winnings. But if you lose, you'll get it right back as a bonus bet. Must be 21 plus. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and rewards credits will be added to the account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promo for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. In Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harris, New Orleans. In Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. In Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia, if you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or in West Virginia, visit 1800gambler.net. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. We're back. We're both bringing us back. And Doc Rivers will not be coming back to Philadelphia because we were just informed like 40 minutes ago from recording this podcast that Doc Rivers is fired.
And he said yesterday, I'll be back. Or he said he wants to be back. This is on the heels of the Sixers losing game 7 in a pretty catastrophic form. They were up in the first half, and then the Celtics went on a run to close the first half. And I turned to CJ and I said, I think this halftime is coming at a good time. Maybe it can stop the momentum. And nope, the Celtics came out and the second half was an absolute beatdown. Jason Tatum had 51 points. But I guess even more shocking is Joel Embiid, MVP of the league, and James Harden, who likes to shoot 75 times, had a combined like 24 points in a game 7.
I know.
And Joel they can't Embiid, fire Embiid. Joel Embiid.
No.
I mean, they can, but they can't. I don't think James Harden will be back. I think that process that they've been trusting. Megan, you know, Doc Rivers is a close personal friend of mine.
Oh, he is. So he used to live in Winter Park, Florida, which is right around 5 minutes
away. I believe it because I think he loves to golf. Yes, I performed at a show that Doc Rivers was at and we really connected, I like to think. I think
connected more or less than you and Jeannie Buss?
Way more. Way
okay,
more.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, right. Way more. On like on a romantic level, even. Ooh. And this was pre-baby, pre-wedding. I was snatched to the gods, performing for.
He is an attractive bald man.
Yeah. We really I love him. He's obviously going to get a job. There's a lot of high profile coaches since we last recorded. Monty Williams has been let go. So we've got Doc Rivers, Monty Williams, Nick Nurse, and Budenholzer floating around. JJ Redick's name has been thrown in as someone
who's potentially an assistant for the Celtics, which listen, I got to watch a lot of Celtics game and he is hot. I would be all for that.
He got a final interview with the Raptors to be head coach. So there's a lot of top coaches out there. My Pacers are happy with Rick Carlisle. I hope he stays there until he wants to retire. But it really does. Monty Williams being let go, that one was maybe less surprising to me. Once I saw Budenholzer fired and he had won a championship, it's like, oh, it's these teams, the expectation is finals or yes. Championship or you're done.
I also think this is the player empowerment era, right? Players have much more of a say than they've ever had before. And players run the league in the NBA, which is a big problem and is going to cause the NBA a lot of trouble, especially as we move forward. But
there's
we saw James Harden.
I like about it. There's a lot of things
I agree with
that
you,
I
but there do need to be boundaries on this. And when you have a player like Kevin Durant saying, I'm not going to play for this team unless you fire the coach.
And like, it's like, dog, you just got here. You've been
that
here
is a very
bunch.
Big problem. And so we saw James Harden post loss in game 7. And he was asked about his relationship with Doc Rivers. And he just said, our relationship is okay.
Which
so
doesn't sound
I know
great.
James Harden is probably not going to be around Philadelphia for much longer, but now perhaps that Doc Rivers is not going to be in Philadelphia, does it give the 76ers more of a chance of bringing James Harden back? Is this over for them? And now I know a lot of Sixers fans would say, okay, oof, we're done with Harden. I don't think all of the blame for Game 7's loss can be blamed on James Harden. I think Joel Embiid needs to be held more accountable for this. And I do think this losing this series, it could cost you your job in the NBA. This Sixers yes. team stole 2 games from the Boston Celtics. They had an opportunity to close it out at home. Close it out at home and go to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they couldn't get it done. I do think the process, the window is closing.
Oh, no, that it closed. I think it closed.
And you look at Doc Rivers and you just say, look, we gave you time. We gave you these players.
You're a great
coach.
You're a great
man. Games. But we need somebody
we
else.
We didn't
here.
Get it done. We didn't get
yeah.
it done.
Listen, that being said, as a, you know, I'm like, I say the fan, like I'm a loosely a Celtics fan, like,
right.
Because I'm married
to my husband
have
to be happy. Yeah.
I don't like Joe Mazzulla. And my husband doesn't like Joe Mazzulla either.
He's
and
odd.
So this is a team that's going to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I know they extended him or whatnot, but now with all of these names out here, it wouldn't be totally surprising to me if any of these teams, you know, got a little handsy and dabbled with another coach.
Yeah. So the Eastern Conference Finals are your husband's.
Except Spo, because Spo Celtics is the best coach left.
And he's a half Filipino man. So he's a hero in our household. And the Miami Heat. And then on the Western Conference side, it is the Denver Nuggets and Los Angeles Lakers. It's the four final teams that were also the four final in the bubble season, which the Lakers did go on to win. So we watched game six. We put it on the projector in our driveway and we had a rager. I mean, it started with like, you know, four or five people. By the time that night was done, I think there were 20 people in our driveway, our neighbors, our neighbor's aunt and uncle, our neighbor's friends. Like it really, we all took tequila shots when the Lakers
You are
won.
Bonding with the neighborhood. Oh, yeah. I love this.
Yes. I'm really popular in the neighborhood. People know Conrad. People know me. Like people that have lived here their whole lives are like, you know more people in this neighborhood than I know, and I've been here 50 years. But we also had friends over. Now, I woke up Saturday morning so hungover. Megan, CJ had to let me sleep in until 10:30 because I could not answer the call to be a mama. And I celebrated like I was on the Lakers. This isn't even my team. This is like tangentially my team, same as you. But as I think about it, CJ, if there's 82 games in the NBA regular season, CJ watched 75 of them, which means I probably watched 65 of them. Like I have never watched a basketball team, and this basketball team was bad. Oh boy, were they bad. And I had to watch my King Russ, who is on the cover of Forbes magazine. Yes. Get booed and trash talked and run out of town right back into the same town. So I am taking a little bit of a victory lap, so much so that while I was on a work call yesterday, I got in the queue for tickets and I bought CJ and I Western Conference Finals tickets.
Oh my God. He already got his Father's Day gift. So now whose gift is this?
This one, I'm paying for my ticket and he's paying for his ticket. And we're just saying it's a nice fun night out, but it's an expensive night out.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Good for you guys. This is very exciting. You could take even a larger victory lap if you did throw that $20 on the Lakers plus 900.
I didn't,
you know, a couple of weeks back, but we had a little bit of a different viewing experience. Both Andrew and I were traveling on Thursday. We got so delayed. We had plans to land in Knoxville, get dinner, and then go to a place to watch the Celtics in game six. However, you know, the travel gods had different plans for us. We were delayed 3 hours, missed the connection. We're not going to make dinner. We're going to miss the game. So what did we do? We got a rental car and we drove to Asheville, North Carolina.
I love
got
Asheville.
A great meal, watched the Celtics at this little wine bar we went to that had a bonfire on a phone. So we're sitting over here because Asheville, great, great spot. Not exactly like a thriving sports town. Like,
No. It's where like, rich people go to retire. It's gorgeous.
Like really big into hiking, really big into breweries, like not a lot of sports bars there. So we did have to rely on the phone. And I was quite nervous the Celtics wouldn't pull it off there. And Jason Tatum, after falling asleep for, I don't know, the first 90% of the game, woke up towards the end and was able to hit three threes, seal the deal for the Celtics. And I'm glad he stayed awake for game seven, where he scored 51 points. But different experience. And then after watching the game on the phone, we continued the 2-hour drive to Knoxville. So we literally stopped to just watch the game on a phone.
We're really great wives. And the thing is, we like sports, but it's like for these to not even be our teams and us be as devoted. I've never paid for a Pacers ticket in my life because I was a child, or when I go back, I'm going with someone. And the money that I've spent on the damn Lakers, oh boy. Okay. Now, switching to our teams, and your team is always shifting. Tonight is also the NBA draft lottery. This is exciting. I shot out of bed. Your Orlando Magic and my Indiana Pacers are both have a chance at it. Here is the rundown of the percentages for the Wembanyama lottery. The Detroit
Wemby, let's go. This is a generational player. For those of you who don't follow the NBA and don't follow the high school circuit, this guy is
LeBron.
He's going to change franchises.
Yes. Okay, so the Detroit Pistons, 14%. Houston Rockets, 14%. San Antonio Spurs, 14%. So these are the three front runners to win the lottery. Then we've got the Charlotte Hornets, 12.5%. Trailblazers, 10.5%. Your Orlando Magic, 9%. My Indiana Pacers, 6.8%. And then it goes Wizards, Jazz, Mavs, Bulls, Thunder,
team.
Raptors, and the Pelicans only have 0.5%. So I, at one point, I actually even threw my hat in the running to represent the Pacers at the lottery. I really, gosh, you don't know, though. The ball does what the ball wants. So even though the Pistons, Rockets, and Spurs have the highest percentage, it could go to anyone. I'd be so excited.
It could. I think we should give a quick little shout out to Mallory Edens, who is allegedly dating Aaron Rodgers. She did become famous on NBA lottery night when the Bucks did win it. She looked great.
To get Giannis, I'm guessing.
Yes, to get Giannis. They did win it, and she was representing the Bucks at the lottery and went viral that night. And now she's dating Aaron Rodgers. So shout out to Mallory Edens, and I can't wait to see who becomes famous outside of Victor Wembanyama for tonight's NBA draft lottery. And I'm praying the Magic get them, because I'm all in on this Magic team, because I was there at the start of this build. And so when they win it all, I'm going to be leading the parade. I'll be on a float.
I'm all in on this Pacers team because they've never won anything. I had a friend over and she was like, when was the last time the Pacers won? Maybe the ABA. They won in the ABA. But it's like, we've been close. We got into the finals. We've had it ripped away from us by Detroit Pistons fans. So Megan, let's have a little wager here. If the Magic win this lottery, I'm going to send you something nice in the mail. And if my Pacers win, I think maybe you could send me a little gift.
Okay, great. I'm all for this. We put some money on it too? Do we have betting odds? Or I'm going to put bets in for us as well, so that we can help fund our little gifts for each other. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back to talk all about NFL news. Okay, we are back. And as you all know, the schedule was released. We saw the video. It was great. But there is more news outside of that. And it relates to one Tom Brady, who could be joining the Raiders ownership. I think for the first time ever, I'm totally convinced that Tom Brady is done playing football. The Patriots are planning opening night to have Tom Brady there. There's going to be a ceremony to recognize Tom Brady. And the Crafts would not be doing this unless Tom Brady was done for good. So I do think that this is it for Tom Brady.
Now, have you heard the Kim Kardashian Tom Brady dating rumor?
I did not hear it. And then I saw you put it in our rundown. So I Googled Kim K and Tom Brady, and there are a lot of rumors surrounding a conversation these two had about Kim looking for real estate in the Bahamas.
Which is like, I don't even know how that's such a telltale sign, because it's like, I love the Bahamas too. I'm not dating Tom Brady. And you know, he was rumored to be dating Reese Witherspoon.
Who also has a place in the same area of the Bahamas.
Okay, so maybe what's happening is just sort of some key parties. You know what a key party is, right?
That's like for swingers, right? They all put their keys in, and then you... Yeah. I remember this when I used to watch The OC.
Yes. So maybe the Bahamas is code for like, hey, do you want to have sex with a bunch of different kind of celebrities? And to that, I say, let's go to the Bahamas. My family goes to the Bahamas.
This wouldn't surprise me if it happened, if it was like Swinger Island for celebs.
No, it sounds awesome. And like, I do think you get to a point as a celeb where you go, listen, I've had sex with everybody I could. We got to spice it up. Okay. And that may mean men, women. I guess it's anything else. Not animals, obviously. But...
You never know. I also did see Tom Brady posted a classy picture of Giselle Bündchen on Mother's Day. Well, and I thought it was really nice. He did Jizzy. He did Bridget.
He did Bridget.
He did his own mother. I think it was Bridget. It looked like Bridget. We haven't seen her a lot in the limelight. It had to
oh,
be
my parents have
her and Jack.
She's the star of a show called Blue Bloods, and my dad is obsessed with it. And my dad is furious. He hates Tom Brady because of Bridget. Like he's like, Bridget's such a beautiful girl. Like he, my dad is a Bridget Moynihan stan. He is a Swiftie for Bridget Moynihan.
Wow. Okay. I love that for your dad. But I thought it was a nice little classy post, and it made me be like, oh, Tom's not a bad guy, which I don't think very often. So
you got to support the mother of your children. If you can't even do that, then you are an actual POS. Matt Ryan, who was released by the Colts, has joined the CBS analyst squad, but he has said it's not necessarily a retirement. I think Matt Ryan is a great guy. I think he's also a little bit waiting by the phone to see if someone needs him. And that's not really going to come until there's injuries. So I could see him being like, listen, I'm going to do this CBS audition and I'm going to try and see if I can be on TV, but I'm also going to keep my legs fresh as they can, because they were never really
he's so nice. And I always think of his kids with their cute little blue penny loafers on the day that he became an Indianapolis Colt. But he's also so boring. Do not care at all that Matt Ryan is in the booth.
TV. They don't let fun, cool people. Everyone's like, Tony Romo's hilarious. It's like, is he? He's fine.
Tony Romo is fun compared to all of the other guys who are on TV.
Yeah, but none of these men are knee slappers. None of these men, I go, oh my God, get them in the Bahamas Island. No.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of others who've been interesting.
Terry Bradshaw's fun.
Terry Bradshaw is a very good time.
Chris Berman.
Michael Strahan is fun.
I go in and out. I think he's actually gotten less fun the more he's been on TV. Because once you're at Good Morning America status, like, you've got to be so squeaky clean. Remember? Oh my God, I thought he got his Gap clothes. I think that was like an April Fool's thing, and I was devastated.
I was too. Okay. Well, we've also learned that Quinnen Williams from the New Jersey Jets scrubbed his entire social media page of anything Jets related. And in his Twitter In his Twitter bio, it now says defensive lineman for I love when players do this. I think it's so petty. I think it's so childish, but I also find it hilarious that they are doing these types of things.
It's a breakup. Please, Quinnen, do not go live with a gun. Andy Dalton is looking like, as of now, he's getting first team reps. Everything in the NFL right now is like schedule based, and it's like they're kind of working out.
He's getting first team reps, but the report was that Bryce Young would get more reps. This is like classic football coach being like, you gotta earn it. And then, you know, they're gonna psych out the media during training camp. They'll be like, oh, the reps are even. And then they'll make some big social media announcement with the video where Bryce Young says, let's go. And then he'll start opening day for the Panthers. Yes. This is classic.
And I'm still excited about Anthony Richardson, and it's May, so that's good. Eddie did slide into the rundown that the Giants have 7 road games in their first 10 games, which is a first for an NFL team. And I think if you don't like that, if it's not fair, they share a stadium. So then it's like they're really beholden to the scheduling of another team. At concerts, like, there's just, I really don't like MetLife Stadium is what I'm trying to say. I don't like that it's in New Jersey. I don't like that it's two major franchises sharing, because it really has no personality to it. And I don't know, in this day and age of New York metro area, the Nets have their own stadium. Can't they stop sharing? I don't get it.
Well, I'm just glad that Eddie now has somebody else to hate outside of the refs, so he can hate the NFL schedule makers and direct his anger towards them and save a little bit for the refs. So it's a good time to be an NFL ref in 2023, because Eddie is going to start to direct some of his anger elsewhere.
Yeah, and he's about to go on vacation too, so that means the refs can sleep well.
I did see an NFL official at the Admirals Club in Orlando Airport, and I know he was an NFL official because he was wearing his polo that said NFL Zebras Club.
Oh my God, that's bold to walk around.
He was. I really wanted people to know to slide and to be, up next to him
to be that. Traveling in that. I mean, that is a conversation starter.
I also love when people take like business calls publicly in airports. You're like, all right, really? Who are you on the phone with? Come
on. Can you imagine if I was like, it's my agent, gate B13. Okay. In baseball news, let's get a White Sox check. How they doing?
The White Sox are not doing well. And there were the lip readers were all on Tim Anderson, who was on first base. There was a wild pitch. He went to go steal second. He didn't steal second. So all of guaranteed right field booed Tim Anderson. And then Jose Abreu, former White Sox, was on first base. He now plays for the Astros. Obviously, he's been terrible this season, which makes me happy because he's no longer with the White Sox, even though I do love Jose Abreu. So all of the lip readers were zooming in on Tim Anderson and his reaction. And it looked like he said, "I hate this place." However, it was cleared up and he said, "I hate the pitch clock," which doesn't really look the same when you speak it.
He could have said, "I hate this base."
Yeah, maybe it was base. But things are not. I hate
this.
Yeah, pitch clock and place don't. I mean, two words versus one.
Yeah, they don't even have the same amount of syllables.
But he has had the local media be like, no, it was the pitch clock. No, it was the pitch clock. And I also think that's a weird take because he would be one of the first people to ever hate on the pitch clock, right? So,
yeah.
I don't know. That's troubling because Tim Anderson is obviously one of the best players for the White Sox. Luis Robert's bat has been so hot right now. So if you play fantasy baseball, I'm very happy for all of the teams that have Luis Robert on them. Other than that, it's been tough. They're thinking about shopping Lucas Giolito at the trade deadline, which I would be in support of. He hasn't played well in like 2 years. So it's just a total disaster this season for the White Sox. I might have to join Eddie in bird watching.
Okay. Well, apparently the Oakland A's have reached an agreement to build a Las Vegas stadium. We saw that there was like a land that was acquired, but now it's being said it would be on top of where the Tropicana is. Does that mean on top of the Tropicana, or they would tear down the Tropicana? We don't need the Tropicana. Right.
What a is lot the of Tropicana? Because when I see Tropicana, I think Tropicana Field in Tampa, which should be also be teared down because it's a terrible stadium.
No, I think they would just tear down the hotel. Have you ever been in some of the really bad hotels in Vegas?
Ooh. Is there some hotels in Vegas you can stay at for like $12 a night?
Oh, OK. I haven't been in those, but I've definitely been in ones where I'm like, why are the sheets crunchy?
Uh-oh. That's gross. Is the Tropicana one of those hotels?
No, but I think I've like seen a bad show there. And I've definitely even stayed at nice hotels in Vegas and been like, why are the sheets crunchy? There's a lot of crunch in that city. Yeah,
Vegas is, it's not really a place you go for like the room.
Cleanliness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say that. Bryce Harper is back with a vengeance. So he had Tommy John surgery. And really, ever since he got paid, with the Phillies, he's kind of been a little bit more tame, but that was not the case last week when they were playing the Colorado Rockies and relief pitcher Jake Bird, after escaping an inning where he gave up two walks and then there was a ground ball. It should have been a double play ball, but it was a terrible call by the umpire. This should have been reviewed, but it was not allowed to be reviewed because there was too much hemming and hawing and waiting too long to get the review in. So the umpire said, no, you can't review this. So it's not a double play ball. And then Jake Bird gets out of the inning and looks towards the dugout and claps on his glove like this, as if he did anything
to
get out of the inning. And this ignited a fire in Bryce Harper. This is the old Bryce Harper. This is the Bryce Harper that everybody wants to see. And it led to verbal exchanges. You know, benches were cleared. Bryce Harper got tossed. If I'm a Phillies fan, I think this is a great sign. He told the Rockies that they are, you know, their franchise is pretty much a joke. Yeah, which, I mean, he's not wrong. The Rockies haven't really done much of anything. But as a White Sox fan, it's kind of like, I wonder what he would say to my fan base.
Also, are you allowed to show this aggressive behavior when you're Mormon? Like, is he going to get in trouble at church to charge the other dugout? That seems way worse than drinking caffeine.
Well, he's always been kind of like a hot-headed guy, right?
So they're allowed to do that. Mormons are allowed to do that.
I mean, is he practicing?
Yeah, he had a Mormon wedding. And I don't think they let you have a Mormon wedding. I mean, maybe they do if you're famous. They're like, yeah, fine.
Yeah, I feel like they would be like, listen, we just need more publicity for Mormons. So maybe this is a good thing. Mormons acting out. They could make it a TV show.
Yeah, Mormons being bad. Bad Mormon.
Bad Mormon.
Let's write the series. All right. All right. I'm really excited for these conference finals. There was no basketball on last night, and CJ and I just didn't even talk to each other. I went upstairs and watched Succession, and he stayed downstairs and watched
sneaker videos. I'm so behind on Succession. So behind.
I'm caught up. I'm caught up, so you can DM me if you want.
No spoilers. I have two episodes to catch up on. I'm currently in beautiful and scenic Stamford, Connecticut. So hopefully today.
You can do some catch up on one. Thank you all so much for listening. Good luck to your magic. Good luck to my Pacers. And we will see you next week.
Bye.